Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and God bless you. Welcome to Morning Manna with your host, Apostle Diane Chappelle, on this kind of chilly Sunday morning. Amen. This morning from the great gate city of Port Huron, Michigan, where I'm getting ready for a women's conference this morning. It's good to have you guys on board. And we're going to press in and connect with some of the things that we shared on last week. Amen. Once again, it's good to have you here. Well, Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We honor and magnify your name this morning. Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful for being in this place, in you, in this place of light and victory and purpose and so many things. We just bless you this morning for truly drawing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. We thank you for impacting our lives. We thank you for continuing to give us some more, show us some more, just move us in that direction that we have a greater understanding of who we actually are in the earth and who we are becoming even more. So we have just so many reasons to worship and celebrate you this morning. And we just want to make that expression in this hour. Thank you for Holy Spirit being our leader, guide, and teacher, our comforter, the one who imparts wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, bringing us into that place of relativeness as we walk out this thing called life. We just honor and magnify you for moving in that manner. We thank you for every listener. We thank you for their faithfulness. We continue to pray for them, Lord God, that you will meet them where they are and continue to carry them into those places that you have designed for them. And Father, we thank you even for this season. It doesn't take this season, but the celebration of Passover, the celebration of Resurrection Sunday, this time that we are entering where we remember, we celebrate, we honor, we give glory and praise to the sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you, Lord, for just all that has happened in the earth and that we are benefactors of. We rejoice and give you praise. So lead us on in the direction you would have us go. That will be greater for the journey. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So once again, it's just good to be on board with you this morning. I'll be a little short this morning, be 45 minutes instead of the hour as we prepare for this service that we are engaged in, just celebrating. And didn't want to leave you guys because there's so much happening. And I really wanted to visit some of the things that we talked about last week. And as you look at those of you that have looked at the episode information, I did pose a couple of questions out there. Just wanted to know that whether or not since last Sunday, you have discovered the events over the past week that have helped you to identify in part with the life cycle that you're experiencing. Of course, we're talking about what we understand to be the head of the year, the month of Nisan, the month of Judah, Father's month, amen, his head of the year, as we would call it. It would be the same as celebrating New Year's in the Roman calendar, but called the head of the year. And we talked about some of the things that it meant. This month was characterized by repentance and redemption and the beginning of miracles. We talked about the color being dark red. We talked about the, just so many things, especially the Judah, the celebration, Judah going first. So I was just wondering, those of you that were part of that teaching on last week, have you experienced any of that? Have you been consciously aware that God is moving in that fashion upon your life, upon your path? that door has been opened for all of us, simply because this is what he has ordained for this time and season of the year. And so I just wanted to tap into that again. Sometimes we hear teaching, and it can be good teaching, and we get busy in life, and often we do not implement that which we have experienced. So I wanted to highlight that for all of us, because God is moving in such a manner, and it would be sad for us to miss this abundance that he has laid out for us, that we are all welcome to take part of. So I wanted to tap in, especially repentance, redemption, and the beginning of miracles. Once again, we've all had that occasion where we have said, this time last year, every year this time, I'm feeling this, or every year about this time, the same thing seems to be happening, and every year this time. And I always respond to that with, because every year this time, that is exactly what's going on. It's repetitive. It's happening again. But the thing that will help us in the repetitiveness, if you would, is to understand that it's repeating for a purpose. And in it, if we bring God into view as we are experiencing these quote-unquote life cycles, they begin to make sense. And not only do they make sense, we become victorious in it, because now we're able to get not only clear understanding, but we're able to get direction on how do you move through these cycles of life, how do you be victorious at the end of the day, how do you understand some of the negative things that may be happening, how do you empower yourselves? What is the way to empower ourselves to take authority over the negative? What questions do we find the answers to if we pay attention to what God is saying in times and seasons and in these calendar months? So we find that answer as he lays it out before us. I mentioned to you maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I've said this to other settings, that we know that we are in the season of the season of health and wealth, that abundance has been released upon the earth, upon the body of Christ. And many would say, well, yeah, but I'm still having an issue. I'm still not getting that I know is there. There seems to be a knot in the tubing, if you would. It's blocking the flow. And I've made the same statement. But the thing that I began to understand is that sometimes God, oftentimes, if not always, God allows some things to happen to us in life that will draw us to his solutions. That, sometimes we have to be up close and personal with some negative things before we start pressing our way to try to find out the positive answers, okay? When things are going smooth and there are no hurdles to leap over and no walls that we crash into, we just skip right along, skip to the loop. And that's not really what our lives are being fashioned for. And so every now and then we run into a wall, we miss the hurdle and fall flat on our faces. And it, in those occasions, help draw our attention to solutions, if you would. What's going to prevent me from hitting that wall again? What's going to cause me not to miss that hurdle? What is it? It draws our attention to negative things. Always draw our attention. Negative things take preference over everything else that we do. Once that negative thing hits us on the path, it shifts our whole mental process. We begin to operate from a whole different concept, if you would. And I believe that it's intentional, because God knows that it's going to get our attention. And in getting our attention, we will, if we follow his path, find the answer. We will find a solution. And that which was intended to hurt, destroy, or create a negative impact on our life actually becomes a place where we begin to celebrate, because we see his hand moving in the midst of the situation, not just on automatic pilot, but he said, just like this month, he said that this is a month for the beginning of miracles. He said that this is the month of redemption, that this is the month of repentance. This is the head of the year. This is the season of Passover. This is the timing of the cross. So all of those things come in alignment with his purpose and plan, that we get a clear understanding of why we're in the earth and how we're moving in the earth, and then take advantage of his promises that he has given us in the earth, so that once again we can bear witness to what he has said, and that bearing witness will draw others out of their own darkness, out of their own difficult places, because now someone has brought them answers, someone has brought them hope, someone has prayed them in a place that they now begin to celebrate. So we want to be cognizant of paying attention to this time of season, so that we benefit from the open doors that are before us. So just to review briefly some of the teaching from last week, when we said that this was the month of Judah, and which we know Judah means praise, and in the month of thanking God for deliverance. And I've already mentioned it's the month of repentance, redemption, and the beginning of miracles. So as we processed through this last week, God gave us some indicators, if you would, of how we get this to operate in our lives. How do we function in this? How do we flow in the miracles? How do we understand redemption? How do we understand repentance? How do we flow in that? And it all draws us back to getting understanding. Amen. Many instances will draw us back to the Word, draw us back to communion with Holy Spirit, in order to acquire the answers that are needed in order for us to walk out the promises. We miss the promises of God not because the promises go away. We miss the promises because we are often gone away. Okay, we are in another place. We are operating from another mindset. We're busy doing other things, and we do not apply that which is needful in order to receive the abundance of the promise. And that missing those moments should be our draw to pay attention, so that we do not miss them, and so that we can benefit from them. So as we were, as I was sharing on last week, one of the things that we talked about was the fact that this was a season to watch what we say. Amen. That this was a time to be careful of what comes out of our mouths. And one of the references that I gave last week, and one that we pretty much are aware of, is Proverbs 18:21, when it speaks of death and life being in the power of the tongue. And then Deuteronomy 15:19 speaks about giving us the life. We can choose life or we can choose death, and those are options. Well, if Father is saying in this month that this is the time of miracles and the time of redemption, that and it is the time that we begin to express our deepest feelings and insights, we begin to understand that we have been given the power and authority to speak things into existence. We have been given the power and authority to speak life. So where do we need to begin to speak life over ourselves? We need to begin to release the word of God over our situations. And when we release the word of God, the heavenlies respond to the word that's being released, because it is a promise. It's a spiritual reality. If he says that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and we should eat the fruit thereof, then it means that I need to be consciously aware that everything that comes out of my mouth should be speaking life and not death. And we have become, over the years and generations and for times and seasons, we have been known to make negative expressions that may seem harmless, but they're actually activating something in the spirit realm that causes it to impact the earth. One of the things, and I said this before too, is that the Lord began to stir in me some time ago the fact that we had to become more cautious of what we said because we had entered into another season. We understand that in this move, in this walk, we are not stagnant. We are not in a place that we just stay until it's time to that our life ends, that there's always a more. God is always advancing. He's always opening other realms. We're maturing, okay? We understand when we talk about the manifested sons of God, we understand at the cross that door was open, that we would become, that Jesus was the first of many sons, and that through salvation we would become sons as he was. But that process, even though we became sons at the cross, we would have to mature from that place in order to manifest our sonship in the earth. So manifesting our sonship is a process that we grow into. So as we are growing into, there are some things that we mature. As we mature, if you understand what I'm saying, there are some things that we need to understand. There's some revelations that God opens up for our understanding, because now we're able to operate from that place. And one of those is that we have to understand the power and authority we have in our words. If Jesus God created speaking things in existence, and we are the sons by nature of the cross and redemption, that means that we're moving into that process where we begin to do the same thing. Now, we aren't creating worlds, of course, but our voices, our mouths, our words are creative. They create. They can create death. They can create life situations. So the example that I give often is when I walk through a hospital or a doctor's office and I hear people say my diabetes and my high blood pressure and my this, yeah. Well, those words, my, are enacting in the earth realm a reality that is creating what you just said, creating what, what has just come out of your mouth. I am being delivered, amen, healed from rheumatoid arthritis, and I am at the moment on prescription, a prescription drug, and I have to catch myself from and not say my medication is not mine. Okay, it belongs to the pharmaceutical company. It's not mine, because once I begin to take ownership of it, then how am I going to break the consistency of needing it? You see what I'm saying? We have to begin to understand that this medication is a process that's taken me into my healing, and I will not be on it much longer. These that just created a reality. Amen. So when we're talking about miracles, we have to create that which has been spoken of by Christ in the Gospels. We have to decree. We have to understand the reality of decreeing a thing that it may be established, as it is spoken of in Job. We have to be in that place of becoming cognizant that our language has to change, and that I believe is one of the reasons why there's this lingering that we experience in just, let's talk about it, in health, why it is. And the same thing happens in wealth. Wealth is being provided. The abundance that God has promised, that he has come to bring abundance, that has not changed. He meant exactly that. But when we make statements that I'll never have enough, well, we just shut up enough. We just shut down enough. Okay, I'm broken. I'll never be broke. And then the enemy plays the game of the spirit of lack and poverty and that mindset. And once we take, hear me, once we take ownership of it, it becomes a reality in our life. Okay, we're supposed to have knowledge of it, but we're not supposed to take ownership of it. The only thing we take ownership of is that life. It has been abundantly provided in everything in life. The abundance in life has been provided for me, and I can call forth the abundance because God, Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So if he came for that purpose, then I can decree and declare that purpose. And because I made that decree by what has been written in the text, means that in the realm of the spirit, it begins to go in operation. Amen. And that's another reason why we need to know what the word says and know what the word says and not repeat what we heard someone else say that the word says. We need to search it out for ourselves and study to show ourselves approved and end up rightly dividing the word of God. Amen. So here we are once again in this month of Nisan, which is a month of the beginning of miracles. Amen. So if it's the month of beginning of miracles, then I'm expected to be part of that beginning of miracles. But I have to operate from the spiritual realm that has been laid out for me. You have to operate from the spiritual realm that has been laid out for you so that you can obtain that which has been provided for you. It also talks about the fact we mentioned that this is the month of Passover. So this is the month that we're standing at our promised land. Preparing to enter a new season of inheritance. And we have to allow the Lord to deliver us from every hindrance that would keep us entering into our place of fulfillment. Amen. That he has brought us to the bank of the Jordan, if you would, headed for the promised land. And it's probably one of my favorite books when it comes to processing over and through and into that place that has been ordained for us. When Joshua tells the Israelites, prepare yourselves for in the morning, God is going to do great things. Consecrate yourself, sanctify yourself, set yourself apart. And that's another place where we need to be more intentional. We need to be in that place where we are consecrating ourselves, sanctifying ourselves, setting ourselves apart from all the din and the noise of the world so that we can process who we are becoming, so that we can hear God as we commune with him, that we can set ourselves aside and be prepared for the promise that has been offered us. Once again, in our busyness, in all of our activity, in our quest for popularity, that is nothing but the trick of the enemy to keep us out of the place of obtaining the promises that have been made for us. Amen. So this month of Passover means that your promises, you're on the brink of receiving your promise. There are words and prophetic words, promises. Let's do this. Prophetic words have been spoken to you. Promises God has made to you. And he's made unto all of us. Some of them have not yet been fulfilled. And my thought on that, I'm not going anywhere until they're accomplished. If he promised them, that means that they're for me. My name is on them. So it means that I'm in a position to receive them, but I have to be in that position. I have to place myself in a position to receive. And if, and I said this to someone the other day, God has made promises to you that have not yet been fulfilled. I see you're not going anywhere until the promise have been fulfilled. But you have to speak that into existence in your prayer, in your communion with the Father. You have to say that, you know, Father, I'm in agreement, as you said, whatever the promise was. And remind him, bring him back. And that remind means, doesn't mean that he is forgotten. That remind means that you have just drawn yourself back to a place of communion with him, that you're speaking of a future thing that's already been established before the foundation of the earth. It brings you into a greater place of revelation. It's not so much the promise, it's a process of it manifesting. catch what I'm saying? And it happens because we're drawing ourselves more attentively, intentionally into the presence and the communion with God, the Father. And not only does that drawing together cause that communion, but it bears a witness in our very soul of our relationship that has been established between ourselves and the Father. It gets to that place that relationship overshadows promise. Amen. We get to that place that God is so faithful and He is so true. I'm not communing with Him because of the promise. That's given because I trust Him. I'm communing with Him simply because of who He is. You know what I'm saying? And it builds that relationship, and it builds a strengthening, and it builds a place of power, and it builds a place where the heavens open and begin to flow out of heaven, those streams that bring the healing, bring the wealth, bring the abundance, bring all those things that have been promised, not because we're seeking after Him, but because we're seeking after Him. Oh, I'll hear me. This morning, and we talked about the fact that it was Judah, the month of Judah, and knowing Judah means praise, and it just struck my spirit once again. Go back and read through 2 Chronicles 20 on Jehoshaphat, and let the Holy Ghost take you through it slow, and open up your understanding. Look at all those things that happened with Jehoshaphat, from the time that he was made aware that warring groups were coming for him. Read through that process. Look and ask the Holy Spirit to show you every step and every process that brought them to victory. And that one place that guaranteed their victory was that Judah was to go first. And Judah means praise. Judah is a warfare tribe, along with other components that make them who they are, who they were, and who they are. So we lock into those realities, and we cause the Word of God to manifest in our lives. And once again, God says that Nisan is the head of the year. And which means that those things that we get in alignment and get right in this month, they follow through the rest of the year. They become their process through the rest of the year. And I have to keep going back because we've set a standard. We've set something in place. And because we've set it in place, we have not set it in place in our soulish realm. We have set it in place in the realm of the spirit. It's not in our mind, our will, and emotions that are connected to our soul or comprise our soul, but it is in our spirit, man. It is in that part that's being awakened by the Holy Spirit, that part that's giving us our identity back and our understanding. It's bringing us back full circle to where Adam was before he broke covenant. It brings us back to God's original intent of what He wanted man to do in the earth realm. And this is the whole process. God is doing more than getting us saved, per se. God is getting us saved and redeemed that we may be able to function in the earth as His governing agents. Amen. And this takes going through the process that's going to bring us in alignment with God's purpose and plan every day, every week, every month. We must know that God is fashioning us to fulfill His design that He put into a place before the foundations of the earth, that the blueprint that we're carrying, the purpose that we're carrying, which is His, which is Him, will manifest in the earth. Amen. So we have to begin to walk out those realities, because if we don't walk them out, they do not become realities. They're just dreams, platitudes, just things we say, things we do. No, they have to become the course of life for us. They have to be the streams of our entire existence. It has to be more than anything else in the earth, because while we're in the earth, is more than anything else in the earth. That is what I'm saying. He sent us into the earth to fulfill purpose, and we can only get there according to the pattern that He has laid out. We can't short sheep. We can't shortcut it. We can't go another way. We can't move in another direction. We have to process according to his purpose and his plan. Amen. So take that 2 Chronicles 20 and begin to read through it. Let that be your place because it speaks. It speaks to Judah. It shows you the process. So those things that are happening in your life, once again, Father allows some things to happen in our life in order that it will extract from us praise. Amen. Because praise is war. Praise is warfare. Praise is that which cuts the enemy to the quick. Praise is that which breaks strongholds. Praise is that which causes you to win the war. Praise shows you how to wield the sword of the Spirit with an exactness. Come on, somebody. That takes the enemy out and down. It's praise that gets us in that place of victory. Amen. So this is a month of praise. So God is saying to us, he says, I've laid out the pattern for you. All you have to do is follow the steps. All you have to do is follow the steps. You don't have to research it. Come on. You don't have to guess it, figure it out. He said, I've laid it out for you. Just follow the steps. Process it. And then the other piece is that as we follow the steps, we aren't following the steps alone. We're following the steps in the company of the Holy Spirit that knows the steps. He knows exactly how we're to get from one place to the other. He knows exactly how long it's going to take us to get there. He knows the obstacles that we're going to meet on the way, but he also knows the victory at the end of the day. Amen. And so, once again, it takes that alignment with him in order to bring us into that place that we are victorious. And once again, one of the reasons that the body of Christ is experiencing or has experienced the weakness and the apparent powerlessness that we could say, once again, all we have to do is look around us and we can see that something is out of sync. Well, the reason that we experience that is because of the broken relationship with Holy Spirit that we have still making this effort to get it done ourselves. I can do this. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to work this out. And hear me, we were raised with that mindset. We were taught to be independent. We were taught to get it done. We were taught, I'd rather do it myself. We were taught that. And then we get saved, and the whole thing turns, and it goes another way. And God says, I don't want you independent. I want you dependent. I want you dependent on me because you don't know how to do it. I know how to do it, and I'm sending the Holy Spirit in to help you get into that place where you'll be victorious in it. So once again, it has to be a conscious awareness of the need for the empowering of Holy Spirit. So whenever you get to the place you say, well, I'm going to try, everything should stop. Right then, you should know, nope, Holy Spirit is going to help me get this done. It goes back to language. If our language is not inclusive of him, his presence, what he is sent to do, then it is nothing but a thought. Okay, once again, how is it going to activate things in the spirit realm if we do not give him any acknowledgement by the words we speak? Amen. How does the word, and now go, and I'm saying go and begin to read again, John chapters 14 through 16 of Jesus' Olivet Discourse, where he teaches the disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Go back and revisit that. Was once again, if we do not recognize him as a partner, if we do not recognize him as a co-laborer, if we do not recognize him as a paraclete, if we do not recognize him as someone that has been sent in to help us walk out the process, we'll keep trying to do it ourselves, and we'll continue to miss the mark. We can't do it ourselves. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know where we're going. Only one that knows is the Holy Spirit. That's what he was sent into the earth for. And the enemy has worked very well, even within the church, to keep the Holy Spirit confined and corralled, if you would, and relegated just to a song, a dance, and you know what I like to say, and a fallout. But as far as being the teacher, the guide, the one that brings wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, the one that shows us how to process through this earth as children of the King, the one who helps us understand the deep revelation of the very Word of God, the one who has given us the ability to operate in the Word as living epistles, the very one that imparts wisdom, the very one that takes us into all truth, the very one that's been sent in to do all that, has been relegated to another place because the spirit of religion has redefined or attempted to redefine who the Holy Spirit is in the earth. Amen. So all what I'm saying, the understanding of repentance, the understanding of redemption, the beginning of miracles, all of these things cannot be done apart from Holy Spirit. He has to be engaged in this because he is the one that's able to empower us against the assault of the enemy that is going to forever be trying to pull us off course, because he does not want us to operate in our purpose and for real, he does not want us to operate in a God-ordained anointing and power, because that's exactly what it is, which means that we have taken some territory from the enemy. And once we have taken the territory, we can take others along that path and get them delivered out of those places that they're being held hostage by the enemy of our souls. I hope you hear what I'm saying. We have to do more than peruse this information that God shows us. We have to set aside and do a word study. We have to open even if we're reading and studying on Nissan, you have to go deeper. Let the Holy Spirit take us deeper so that we can benefit from that which God is doing. So we're in that place. So Judah goes first. Judah is once again the warring tribe. At that eastern gate was Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Judah, the praise, the warring tribe, Issachar, knowing the times and seasons of what man should do. Zebulun, the economic business, the financial end of the whole component, that those three tribes at the eastern gate were set. So when we understand that, my brothers and sisters, we're able to pull on that revelation, because God has given it to us for the purpose of being victorious in this hour. Interesting, there's the eastern gate that they had to enter into the tabernacle. You come through that very door of warfare. You come through that very door of knowing times and seasons. You come through that very door of economic base, wealth, all those things. You come through and you enter in, and God is saying, this is an entering in line. I want you to enter into that place because it's been provided for you. The cross, redemption, made it available to you. You can take possession of it, but you have to know what you're taking possession of, and that God has put it there for us to take possession of it so that we can be part, so that we can understand all of it is being part of our inheritance that we received through the blood of Jesus at the cross, as he redeemed us out of darkness, out of the hand of death, hell, and the grave, into the loving hand of our holy and righteous Father. So once again, we have to press into this. And there's another month coming. So it's not like Nissan is around for the next 12 months. Nissan is covering March and April. Amen. So what we want to be able to study what God is saying in these months, so that we will not be pulled away by the distractions of the enemy. I was many early mornings, 3:30, 4 o'clock, will wake me up and just begin to download some things. And for the last couple of months, off and on, I keep hearing him speaking in the fact that the distractions are actually tools that the enemy uses to reinforce strongholds. get what I'm saying, okay? They're tools that he uses to get into our mind and create a sophisticated entanglement, okay, of negative thoughts and processes that build strongholds that cannot be unraveled at will, but have to be worked out, warred out, amen. He knows that if the mind, hear me, if the mind gets in alignment with the mind of Christ, if the mind gets in alignment with the purpose and plan of God, every sophisticated stronghold is going to fall, which means the enemy no longer has a toehold. So distractions are sent in order to complicate our minds so that the strongholds can be even more intentional and intense, and we've got to know that. So the only way we can come against distractions is that we have to have the holiness and righteousness of Holy Spirit intervening in that place, so that distractions bounce off us like a rubber ball off a wall. That we begin to understand about the weapons of our warfare. We begin to understand how to wield the sword against the distractions of the enemy so that we will not be subjected to his wiles and those things that he is doing to try to get us from processing into purpose and moving forward in God, that we become, once again, the governing agents of the earth, causing the earth to yield to the purpose of the King simply because we are carrying his presence within us. We've got to hear and understand it. Listen, we are so more victorious than we are victims, okay? The enemy would have us believing that we are these victims and we can't get to next steps. Our health is bad. No, it's not. Your health is good. Claim it. Good. It's back. It's been restored. And walk it out and listen to the Holy Spirit as he gives us those proper things that need to be done in order to maintain our health at that place where we can carry the vision, carry the purpose of the King into the earth. Amen. Well, would God send you on assignment and not provide everything you need for it? Would he not give you the resources that are required? It's not that they aren't there, and it's not that they aren't available. It's that we have to understand how we have the authority to draw them unto ourselves through our communion with him and through our understanding of who we have become at the cross and the power and authority that we have. Amen. Glory to God. And I am about out of time. I cut it short a little bit this morning. It's probably a good thing. I need to save some of my voice. Glory to God. But process so we can make this assignment that we've been given. So I pray that this addition to the month of Nisan is being beneficial to you. And he's not finished yet because he says if we understand where we are, we'll see the signs. I think it was last Saturday I mentioned, or last Sunday I didn't mention, that the color for Nisan is dark red. Well, last Saturday at 7 a.m. when I looked at the sky, the clouds were a dark red. I had not read up on Nisan when I saw the red. It was afterwards that I saw that the color was of Nisan's dark red. What am I saying? God has set signs all around us of his hand moving, and we've got to see it. And if we see it, it becomes in alignment with what he's saying and doing. And that, my goodness, if that does not build hope, I don't know what will. So once again, pay attention. Glory to God. Google it. Look it up. Those of you that are on Facebook, you can find it on my page. Apostle Poole out of Houston, Texas, puts out the month, the Hebrew months, every month. So get it, and so that you can study it, so you can be victorious in this hour. The cross did not create any victims. It created victors. and we are victors. Okay, not victims. Amen. So, Father, we bless you, we honor you, we magnify you, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to share with each other under your careful watch. We praise you and we just honor you. And I lift up every listener, whether on this line or on by internet. I pray, Lord God, that you continue to cover them with your presence. Holy Spirit, that there's a continual draw upon all of us to know the more of who we have actually become in the earth, that there will continue to be an unveiling, an understanding, a cleaning out of the cobwebs, an annihilation of the distractions of hell that are working diligently trying to keep us from the truth. But we thank you, Father, that you keep drawing us unto yourself, and each time you draw us unto yourself, you make it even more clear who we have become in you. And for that, we give you praise. Father, I prophesy that everyone under the sound of my voice will receive the abundance, that will receive the miracle, that will receive the healing, that will receive the more that you have promised, simply because they are by you and your grace created for such a time as this. We honor you, we praise you, we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Glory to God. Love you guys. Have a marvelous day. Have a wonderful week. And I will be with you next week, unless the Lord has a different strategy. Amen. Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye.